Guys, Rabbi Arlovsky, Shalitha, has content, and he's hysterical. There's a Chashev Rav that I know who said to me once, he has two nightmares in life. He has two nightmares. One nightmare is that his cell phone's on in the Beis Medrash and it rings, you know, during a Seder. His other nightmare is that he has to speak after Rabbi Arlovsky. You don't want to speak after Rabbi Arlovsky, because, you know, if somebody's the best speaker and the best funniest speaker, that's a good word, by the way. Never try not to. Here we go. Two famous Rambans. Number one, we know there are the famous four Lashonos of Geula. Votesi, Vitzalti, Vigoalti, Vilokachti. And this is one of the bases for the four cups of wine at the Seder. The Rashbam quotes this at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. So the fourth cup goes together with which word? Vilokachti. So I once heard the following very simple but very powerful word from Rav Daniel Lander Shlita, the head of Or HaChaim in Queens, a very big Talmud of the Rav. And he says as follows. Look in the Ramban. What does Vilokachti mean? Look in the Ramban. It's Paraglav Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Look in the Ramban at the bottom. Bivoachem al Har Sinai usakablu a Torah, kisham nemar v'yisem li segula. You'll be my beloved treasure. The Ramban says Vilokachti refers to Matan Torah. I'm taking you as a nation. The fourth Lashon of Geula refers to Matan Torah. What does that teach us? That teaches us that Matan Torah is the direct goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of being free is to be free to serve Hashem. And this means that Yetzias, that Matan Torah is where? It's at the Seder. The fourth cup is Matan Torah. That's unbelievable. The fourth cup is Matan Torah. Guys, the fourth cup is Matan Torah. That's unbelievable. And you should discuss it at the Seder. I have an essay in the Haggadah, the connection between the Seder and Matan Torah. One of my kids says, Abba, whenever you ask a question at the Seder, the answer always is, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Torah. Whatever the question is, that's the answer. And he's right. Any question I ask, the correct answer is the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Torah, and then somehow it fits. Whatever, the kids ask other questions. So, excuse me. Yeah. No. We discussed that. That's a good question. You have to look in the Mepharshim. Most of the time, the Mepharshim give answers. Once in a while, the answer is but kids don't like that answer so much. Kids like the chocolate chips, kids like the marshmallows. We discussed that, right? We discussed when you run a Seder, you have chocolate chips and chocolate chips. For any question, you get chocolate chips. For good questions, good question, you get a marshmallow. So the first time I did this, we didn't tell this, no? I didn't tell my wife about it. I didn't tell her about my plan to do the chocolate chip thing. New. So my kid started asking questions, and so my kid asked the question. So I decided to throw it. I don't know. I threw a chocolate chip at him. And he asked another question. And it was a good question. He threw a chocolate chip, a marshmallow. So my wife says, what are you doing? So what did I do? I threw a chocolate chip at him. And he says, what's going on over here? I threw a marshmallow at him. It was bad, but kids loved it. That was the best part of this. That they remember, because she wasn't in on the joke. She wasn't in. Anyway, I don't know. You want the kids to ask questions. Guys, we left Mitzrayim in order to get the Torah. The Torah is the goal. We were slaves. We had nothing. So that's why the Torah is the ikar. The Torah is the goal. And this relates to a lot of guys moving soon, and then you're heading off. So for example, a guy is an accountant. We discussed this several times during the year. You're an accountant. You work 11 hours a day as an accountant. 10 hours a day as an accountant. That's the majority of your waking hours. You're an accountant. But that's not the ikar of your life. What's the ikar of your life? Your learning, your davening, being a Ben Torah, treating your wife properly, being a Ben, etc. So it might be that you're spending more time over there, but what's the main focus of your life supposed to be? The Torah. And of course you have to do your ishtadlus. You got it? It's exactly the same thing when what? When you're where? When you're in college. You're spending a lot of time out there, you gotta put the time in. You want to get a good degree, that's your proper ishtadlus. But what's the main focus always supposed to be? The Torah. Yesterday somebody asked Mr. Roseri, I don't know what happens if it's a rough thing and Shabbos, you're forced to study for a test and you knocks you out for a couple of days. So what did he answer? I don't. You don't study for a test on Shabbos. You don't study for a secular Limud Torah test on Shabbos. No, that was the answer. That's a good answer. So guys, that's this pasuk. Let's say a guy's in med school. I don't know. Let's say there's a guy named Eitan in dental school. So he's going there and he's working hard, etc. So what's the main focus of his life? He's got his family. He's got his, proper midos with others, especially with his wife and with his dealing with his kids properly. His learning, his davening. You understand? It's not an issue of time. It's an issue of focus. What do I feel my priority is? It might be that Mr. Ben, is forced to spend more time in class and doing his work than in yeshiva. Could be. But what's the focus? What's the goal? What's the tachlis of everything? The Torah. You got it? Why is this Ramban exciting? Because according to this Ramban, what are we saying? That Matan Torah is literally where? It's at the Seder. It's the fourth cup. In the Haggadah, all the Makaros that hint to Matan Torah at the Seder itself. But this one is fabulous. The fourth cup is Matan Torah. That's what the Ramban says. You got it? It's a fabulous vort. It's my favorite vorts are the ones that are pashut and powerful. So that's a great Ramban to know. So at the Seder, at the fourth cup, say, what's this cup about? It's about Matan Torah, the Ramban says. What does that mean? This is the whole goal. Yes. Very good. So therefore then, right, the Sfarim say that. So at the Seder you have this Chag and you keep the Matan Torah there too. Very good. That's one Ramban. One more, that again, certain things you have to know, you just have to know. There's a world famous Ramban, Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel. It's about the fact that what did Hashem do? Hashem hardened Paro's heart. When he actually slave Paro. So it's not on the sheet here. Just you should know this is the world famous Ramban. So the question is, what's going on? You know, that's the holy essence of life. How could Hashem punish Paro for? If it wasn't his fault. He didn't have a choice. The last five maklas. Good. So the Ramban says a Yisod. This Yisod is already found in the Rambam, in the Sefer Shmona Prakim. The Yisod. The Yisod is, this is the Pashut Pshat, that it's possible that you lose your Bechira Chavshus. A person can do so many Aveiras and be such a Rasha that Hashem, as part of his punishment for you, takes away your Bechir Chavshus, punish you even more. In other words, you're not going to get punished more for the last five where he didn't have Bechir Chavshus, because that wasn't in his control. But Hashem, this is what the Rambam says, 99% of the people in the world have Bechir Chavshus, and 1% don't, 0.5% don't. If you're such a Rasha, Hashem will sometimes take it away. What's the pshat? The pshat is like this. You deserve a huge amount of punishment. But if you suddenly start acting, different, people say, hey, it's not fair. Why is this guy getting punished? So Hashem will sometimes take away your bechira, that you'll keep on doing the bad things, so you'll get the super punishment you deserve from all the things you did originally. That's the Ramban and the Rambam. Now, if you read the Ramban carefully, there are two ways of saying this. One, what did that was so bad? What did he do that was so bad that he lost Bechir Chavshus? What did he do that was so bad? What did Paro do that was so bad? So what's the Pashut? What did Paro do that was so bad? What? Cain slave does. He oppresses like crazy. He murdered all the Jews, right? So one Medrash says, because Paro did all the oppression and murdered all the Jews, he lost Bechir Chavshus. That's one pshat. The other pshat is what you guys hinted at before, that Paro was a Rasha. Yeah. But what put him over the edge? The fact that the first five Makos he ignored. That was on his own. He had a pair of chashis. To ignore God's direct warnings five times, that put him over the edge. That's the Ramban's second shot. In other words, Hashem gives you a warning. Wake up! And you say, no, sorry, I don't know. I'm ignoring Hashem. If you ignore Hashem's five warnings, the Ramban quotes, that was what is what made Paro a super duper Russia, and that's why he lost his Bechir for the last five. You got it?
Okay.
Now, so that's the famous Ramban. Got it? There's a world famous Sforno that's good to know that argues on the Ramban. The Sforno says Paro maintained his Bechir Chavshus. That's what this Sforno says.
Did anyone in the room, sorry to interrupt, did anyone in the room ever hear this Sforno before?
Yeah. Were people put in this morning?
He did?
Yeah.
Oh. No, it's in my Haggadah. I thought everyone got it from the Haggadah. Whatever. Okay, that's the other passport. Okay. Oh, very good. It's the world famous. The Rosh Yeshiva Shlita quoted the Sforno this morning. The Sforno says. The Sforno says.
Okay.
Rabbi Say, Rav Korn Shlita is Nidagdik. It's not famous. It's not so famous. It's not so famous. We're trying to make it famous now. It's in the book. The Sforno says Paro maintained Bechir Chavshus. And that was the whole point. Hashem's beating up Paro with the Makos. If someone's beating you up with the Makos, what are you going to do? You're going to let him go. But if Paro lets them go because of the Makos, he's not really doing tshuva. He doesn't want to get beat up. So Hashem hardened his heart to even the scales. He hardened his heart enough that he could withstand the pain of the Makos, and now he has an even scale to decide what he wants to do. So the Sforno says, Akshas Leif Paro, was to maintain the Bechir Chavshus, the opposite of what everyone else says, to maintain the Bechir Chavshus. A very creative, exciting, but not yet famous pshat. It's a tough crowd over here. You got it? So, not famous, that's an exciting Sforno. The Sforno says, Hashem made him stubborn, he could ignore the pain of being beaten up. Again, because Hashem wanted real... The Sforno says, the goal of the Makos was to bring... that the Jews should recognize Hashem, and for the Mitzrim to do tshuva. The Sforno says one of the purposes of the Makos was for the Mitzrim to do tshuva. But what's tshuva? Real tshuva. Well, you decide to turn to Hashem. If you give in because you're being beaten up, that's not tshuva. You don't want to get beaten up. You hear? So Hashem hardens the heart to even the scales. That's a very exciting Sforno. So those are the two approaches. Okay. Yes. Yeah, they say that was the beginning. That's the Medrash. The Medrash says, if you lack Hakaras Tov to Yosef, he lo yadash Yosef, what does it lead to? Lo yadati es Hashem. The Medrash compares it. Rav Shechter always quotes that if you don't have Hakaras Tov to people, it's gonna eventually lead to lack of Hakaras Tov to Hashem. That's what happens. Cause you feel it's me, it's all me. If a Jew realizes, if I know you help me, let's say this guy's helping me sell a lot of books. I have a Karas Tov, Baruch Hashem. You say, no, it's whatever, it's all. Then eventually you lose Karas Tov to other people too. All right, guys, we'll stop here. Now.